All right, welcome, good afternoon, and welcome to Realm of the Historics. This is the program in which we look at issues that are affecting us. And today we are getting into a very tough conversation. Very tough analysis, but of course today is Saturday, so I'm going to do what we call, infotainment. So today is Saturday. I'm allowed to play some music. So we are in for a good conversation today. Very, very tough. Let's put all emotions aside. And we are going to go deeper into some things that are said to be very sensitive, but linking them with what is going on in the world. And we say that should Namibia have oil, and Namibia better dances to the tunes of the superpowers. Because if Namibia does not dance to the tunes of the superpowers, there are a lot of things that can be used to destabilize Namibia. A lot of past issues that are not resolved. A lot of things that we think are resolved, but they are not resolved. Okay? Even our national reconciliation, our one Namibia, one nation, is not at that level where we can even say it is reconciliation, because reconciliation should be both restorative and restitutional. But in Namibia, nothing restorative and nothing restitutional was done. So, this is what we are going to continue with. Of course, next Saturday I'm going to try to find people that will come and talk about this issue when it comes to, are we able to be restorative and to be restitutional? Restorative reconciliation and restitutional reconciliation. So, that is what we are talking about. But today I'm just going to highlight some of the issues that have the potential to destabilize this country. Should Namibia have oil?
Well, I tell you what. Let's get it on down from the bayou. All right.
We are here. I just gave you some of those music items so that you come closer. Now, let's get into the issue. What is happening in the world now should not be isolated to Iran. What is happening in the world now should not be isolated to Iran. Do you know that Namibia, the minister Kalesh Letwin, the former minister of finance and former minister of agriculture, is objecting to, the go ahead, allowing the Russians to come and extract uranium from that stamprit area. According to him, it will contaminate the water aquifer, the largest water aquifer. But then according to Toby Aupindi, who is a chairperson of the Standing Committee on Natural Resources, he is saying the water is already contaminated because it is together with uranium on the same, under the same ground. So uranium is already underground. Water is already underground. So water is already contaminated because where uranium is, there is water. So what's the difference? So they are proposing that the Russians, of course, Rosatom, must be given permission to extract that uranium, so that through it, it will create better, it will create jobs for Namibians. Okay, so it depends on which side you are, but when I'm analyzing this, this is one of the things that could be potential bone of contention that could divide society. You know, that will be divided. That will be one of the, you know, that will be one of the, it will be one of the issues. You know, this is one of the bone of contentions that could have potential to divide society. That is one. Okay, because I want you to understand the seriousness of what you are dealing with. I want you to understand the seriousness of what we are dealing with. Do you remember what Bernardus Swartboy said 2 or 3 months ago? Do you remember when he wrote a letter to Trump? Do you remember what he said? Okay, so circle that point. Then I want you to remember the Caprivi issue. Okay? I want you to remember the Caprivi issue. And I want you also to remember the Ukwanyama issue. And the Nama and Over Herero German genocide issue. Okay? And then I want you to remember the Kufut issue. The Kufut or Swatuf issue. And then I want you to remember the war veteran and struggle kid issue. Then I want also to remember the Lubango dungeons. Those issues. How many issues have I said? Those are potential issues that could, you see, that Namibia can be messed up with. Because Namibia is already seated on ticking bombs, and I've already highlighted them. So should Namibia have uranium, for example, and the Russians are coming in and they start, you know, and the employment is booming, and Namibia is booming at uranium sector, there is also energy, the energy sector is booming, and, you know, employment is maybe down 60%, you know, or down 70%, and, you know, money circulating nicely in the country, and the people of the likes of Toby Opindi are happy and smiling. And maybe people of the likes of Kale Schletvines are now silent, they are quiet. Then, see, oil comes in, oil and gas. Oh, Namibia is oil now. Yes, Namibia exporting, you know, 1 million barrels or maybe 3 million barrels of oil of WTI oil crude oil. You know, 3 million per 3 million barrels per day, exporting to whom? You people are playing with fire. See, you politicians, you people are playing with good fire. You see, oil is good. Gas, all that is what we need. Okay, from there, Namibia is also making stripes with green hydrogen. Oh, green hydrogen is now, we are now able to export energy through it. And, you know, it is booming. And Namibia is now booming, yeah? Okay. And do you remember the Namibia-Russia Business Forum? The Minister of International Relations, Selma Shpala Musavi, was talking there. Do you remember that? So Namibia, listen, Namibia is now even now joining BRICS because she has a lot to offer. She has oil, she has uranium, she has green hydrogen, she has money. Let's now for a moment just assume that Namibia's GDP is now from, you know, $20 billion to at least, maybe $100 billion or $200 billion. Oh, Namibia's GDP. Wow. 2, 3.2 trillion Namibian dollars in GDP. So what will the budget of Namibia be? For example, Meme Erika Shefuda will come and present a budget of 650 billion Namibian dollars. And let me say, the Ministry of Education, how? Gets 100 billion. Largest chunk, as usual. And the Ministry of Health, yeah, gets maybe 87 billion to modernize public hospitals. And Namibians are eating nicely. And Namibians are like, you know, Lebanese or like Syrians during, you know, Bashar al-Assad. You know, maybe they are like Libyans during Muammar al-Gaddafi, you know, having access to housing and nice. You better. You see, you better develop a nuclear bomb quickly. You better, because the Namibian government thinks that they can be rich and continue to be an enemy of none and a friend of all, a friend to all. You are playing. You are playing. If you want to know more, ask Syria, ask Lebanon, ask Libya, ask Bahrain, ask Yemen. You see, those countries like Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, those were powerful democracy. They were powerful democracy, 80% Christian nations, like in Syria and in Lebanon. You know who helped Islam take over? It is America. Because the Americans' intelligence found out that no man, this cannot be in a third world country. Democracy was thriving. People's livelihood was, you know, was intact. People were happy. Money was in the country. They destroyed Lebanon. They just used Islamic radicalism, Islamic militants to destabilize and wreck Lebanon into pieces. They did the same with Syria, and they did the same to Yemen. So if the Namibian government thinks they will develop and continue, if they think that we will go nicely to the GDP, you know, of maybe, let me say, 5 trillion or 6 trillion, you know, let me say maybe 6.4 trillion Namibian dollars or 16 trillion Namibian dollars. That is, you know, 1 trillion US dollar. Let me say Namibia has up to 1 trillion US dollar. That's the GDP. So the GDP of Namibia is now at 16 trillion Namibian dollar. Hey, I can imagine, you know, I can imagine how the minister Erika Shefuda will stand in parliament, you know, presenting the budget. The budget of this year will be 1.9 trillion Namibian dollar, focused on the youth and so on. And the parliament all cheers. You say 75% of Namibians now have houses. 80% of Namibians now have access to land. And 99.9% of Namibians are employed. We have reached 100% literacy. Literacy rate. And 100%, we are now towards 70% electrification. And it is real, you know. Even Bernardo Swartboy and Ojo Bampanda, they are singing, you know, you hear them. I mean, even the opposition gets confused at some point. You know, they get confused and they start to sing, Sema Uripeni, Yelule Pandela, in parliament, you know, and you no longer know who is who, you know, and you see in the IPC, you know, you see a smile from Itula who is outside to Nashinga who is inside. You know, Namibia, finally, everyone is eating well. Everyone is well. You see, do you think you can be that rich? Do you think you can be that rich without provoking an enemy somewhere? Because the way Namibians are thinking, I suspect that the way Namibians are thinking, even politicians, they think that they will be rich. They think that they will be rich and then continue to be an enemy of none and a friend to all.
Egameno jomau yerele koko marungura, kalishi ashike upsa kathi wapau teknika, oliliwo omkundu wapashigwana, upsa kathi wapaliko, no hashivuru oku ya moshi para uhupiro uongeshefa. Oshini momtumba go Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition na omvomao vigajo mirongo mbali na hamano. Iikondo epangero mahangano wapau mwene, uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe, onetamu ithanwa muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa mete. Tekero esiko mirongo mbali naga lisiko mbali naga nega apiriri mwa vigali mirongo mbali na hamano ekharoko Arembush Travel Lodge movenduka oshiparashi kundathanwa okwanja gane kuyerere kombinga ukoshoki wopaungomba ano saiba hejin kene una okuironge kidira omashongo ko marungura no marongo ke hopopeko jerongizo jo marungura na irwenji koneka omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mboka tamkatuma akaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano otamukapewa ompi ito yom tugumwe awedhu wapo hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo jom tumba wotungoka otakukakarao VIP cyber gala dina nuyere ronji wa maisha angizo no mapura apuro kwa tathana nayo konraje tatu imwe onda tuyatano omgoigeari nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarele pwe panja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
So, Namibians, do you think that you can be rich, that rich, without an enemy? Look at what South Africa is. Okay, South Africa with the most advanced economy. You know, with 350 billion US dollar. That is almost maybe, $5 trillion or $6 trillion US dollar in economy. Let me say Namibia has gone beyond that. You know, Namibia is now 16 trillion, and the Minister of Finance is presenting a budget of 1.8 trillion. Huh? The Ministry of Health getting 200 billion. Ministry of Education getting 300 billion. Ministry of Defense getting 100 billion. And, you know, Ministry of Agriculture getting maybe 90 billion. Municipalities, the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, maybe they get like 120 billion. So they can give 10 billion to, you know, 5 billion to each, in each municipalities. And you are no longer in a kambashu, all the mbashus are destroyed, you are now living in a brick house. You know, every Namibian is having a $5,000 per month. You know why I'm laughing? It's because we are not looking back. We are in an illusion to think that we can be this rich and not attract any enemy. Some of the countries that are being bombed today, they are being bombed because of the natural resources that they have. Now, countries like North Korea, the reason why North Korea tested a nuclear bomb in 2006, it was to avoid those things that should North Korea discover oil, it is their oil. The Americans will think twice getting in there to disturb them because they know that North Koreans have nuclear warheads. So that's why North Korea is now untouchable. So if Namibia will think that, I'm not advocating for Namibia to have a nuclear bomb. But at the same time, I'm not afraid of advocating for that. Because it seems that nuclear bomb is the only thing that can deter any country from destabilizing you. That's what it seems. Because other countries have chosen to be quiet, they have chosen to get into the so-called nuclear non-proliferation. And the nuclear non-proliferation treaty is nothing but nonsense because, you know, it does not protect anyone from anything. It's a United Nations ratified, you know, treaty. But the United Nations itself is powerless. It does not protect anyone from any harm. You know, the United Nations does not protect anyone from anyone. The United Nations is now folding its hands, watching Iran being bombed by the United States and its allies. Now, what is the use to have a United Nations charter? It's for what? The United Nations Charter is useless because no one respects it. In fact, the draftees of this charter are the gross violators of this of it all. So, if Namibia think if Namibia will still sleep in the rich. And getting rich, Namibia will be the Lebanon of Africa. Just wait. If the government will sleep on this and think that they can be rich with oil and with gas and with green hydrogen and with uranium without thinking properly, Namibia will be the Nigeria of Southwest of Southern Africa. And I'm now going to tell you how Namibia could be destabilized. Very easy. Very simple. Very simple. Very easy. You don't even need to be bombed. You will just be given bombs to bomb yourselves because you are already armed against each other. You are already on each other's throats, theoretically. So that just need to be practical. And I'm going to highlight issue by issue that have potential to destabilize this country, should you start to have oil and gas, and should you start to be rich, and should you refuse to dance to any superpower's tune? Because you cannot talk about sovereignty. Okay? Look at Denmark. Denmark now is having diarrhea because Trump is eyeing Greenland. And there is nothing Denmark can do because for 80 years, the European countries have been deceived to think that the Americans are their protectors. And they did nothing for their own security. They did nothing to create their own security, you know, architecture. Because they've been deceived to believe that the Americans are their protective arm. Americans have their interests. And they follow, they are good at getting what they want. It doesn't matter whether you are their ally. So now you know the cost of being allied to Americans. Countries that are in the Middle East now, countries such as Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, Oman, Jordan, they now know what it means to be allied with Uncle Sam. Now they are being hit by Iranians because of hosting American bases. And there is nothing America is doing to help them. At least so far. So, for me, I think that Namibia, if you want to be rich and be smiling there, you know, if you want Madam Erika Shafuda to come at the parliament happily to present a 1.9 trillion Namibian dollar budget, you better have a nuclear bomb. At least have a nuclear bomb. Then you have deterrence. Then you can talk about your sovereignty. You can be sanctioned, yes, but no one will come near you. Because if no one comes near you and you are threatened, you are able to fire the nuclear bomb, and that is already the end of the world. No one wants that. Any, if there is anything that is feared in this world, it's a nuclear catastrophe. No one wants to go that path. So that's why many countries that thought wisely, Pakistan had nuclear weapons. They started their own, I think it was in 1979, together with I think India was in 1973. Then North Korea in 2006. Africa is still sleeping. Africa is fighting. Apparently they want permanent seat in the United Nations Security Council. That's nonsense. That permanent seat can do nothing if you don't have deterrence. You can have a seat in any organization, any forum. You can still be violated if you don't have deterrence. Even China has nuclear weapons. Why? Because the Chinese want to go left without Russia or America dictating where they should go. The reason why the Americans have nuclear weapons is because they want to go south without anyone making noise. The reason why the Russians have the largest nuclear arsenal is because when they say one, it is one. Look at Maduro, how he was taken from State House, sleeping nicely, dreaming in Latin. He was dreaming in Latin, dreaming talking to Che Guevara. Before he knew it, he was at the back of America. He was looking at Trump. He was looking at Trump in his face. So that is what happens to countries that sleepwalk in the future. Because when you have natural resources of such magnitude, it is foolish for you to sign a treaty of nuclear non-proliferation treaty. That's very foolish for any country to have signed that. Because countries with nuclear weapons have not signed that. That's why they have nuclear weapons. They do not destroy that. But for countries like Namibia, apparently Namibia is a signatory of nuclear non-proliferation treaty. And we are even celebrating that. Somebody must just tell us what it is on earth that Africans are drinking. Somebody must tell us what it is that Africans are drinking or smoke. What kind of combination, what kind of a concoction or maybe a cocktail that African leaders are drinking? Because I don't understand. You see, when Libya destroyed nuclear weapons, that is when Libya was attacked and destroyed. Because as long as nuclear weapons were intact in Libya, no one could do anything to Libya. No one. Because people were afraid that should Libya fire one nuclear, the entire nuclear countries will be on flames. And nobody wants that. So they just talk. It's just a war of words. Between America and Russia, it's a war of words. Maybe proxies here and there. The Americans are helping the Ukrainians and the Russians are helping the Iranians there. But the America and Russia will never clash. Why? Because they don't want nuclear weapons to be used. So, I don't understand African leaders. What is it that we are... Look at Nigeria. The reason why Nigeria is in chaos today. Look at it very well. The reason why Nigeria is in chaos. Look, when you create chaos in America now, the Americans will crush that chaos. Crush it. And no country will go into there because they will know they can be wiped out. If something erupts in Russia, the Russians will crush that chaos and no country will get in there because they know they will be wiped out. If chaos arises in China, like what the demonstration that were taking place in Hong Kong, the Chinese crushed that and silenced it completely. No country moved to say we are coming to, because they know they can be wiped out. But African leaders want to be cut into pieces like onions. You see, African leaders, they want to be cut into pieces like onions. They want to be sliced like cucumbers. In the name of being internationally correct, we are now members. Namibia is a member of what? Now, if you are a politician, whether you are in a position or SWAPO, sit down and think. What do you benefit from the nuclear non-proliferation, treaty? What security do you get from there? You see, Ukraine was part of the nuclear non-proliferation. Look at Ukraine today, wrecked into pieces. Because the moment you don't dance to the tune of a superpower and you don't have power, you will be cut into pieces like onions. How is it that we have nuclear? We have uranium. We are the second largest producer of uranium in the world. And we are joining the nuclear non-proliferation treaty for what? To please who? That was a political miscalculation. It was a political mistake. That was a political trap that Namibia has set for herself. In fact, that's a political ditch that the Namibians have dug for themselves, and they are going to fall in that pit very soon. Because unless you quit extracting oil, but if you are going ahead to extracting oil and gas, and we come to the level where we are producing oil and gas, maybe we are part of OPEC Plus, and we make decision as to whom and when we sell oil. You guys are playing. Someone somewhere is not thinking, or maybe is being misadvised. We like joining organizations. Not many days ago, the Minister of Tourism, Pohamba Shifeta, was threatening to come out of a certain organization where they joined, which is preventing them from selling the elephant tusks. They have elephant tusks in the largest stockpile of elephant tusks. They are prevented by an organization which is, headquartered in a country, which have destroyed their own natural resources long time ago. But these are the countries that are now telling Africa what to do and what to do with the resources that they don't have. I don't know who is advising who, or maybe I don't know what cocktail is in African state houses. Because it seems that Africans are drinking poison that is making them not to think straight. Because you need to use Lebanon, Syria, and Yemen as a case study. I don't know even the political the professor in the so-called political science or international relations. I don't know you guys whether you see these things. In as much as I want to study, I always get discouraged by people like you guys. I also want to study, but I always get discouraged because it seems that the moment you have a PhD, it's like you stop thinking. Does PhD mean permanent head damage? Especially to an African context. Because you hear people with PhD in international relations, and you hear people with PhD in political science, but let them argue, let them talk. You wonder, these people, where in the world are they coming from? They are totally disaligned with what is happening. All they talk about is, Vladimir Lenin and Aristotle, Alexander the Great, what. All those are old, dead, gone philosophies. They no longer apply to our current reality. So I listen to political analysts sometimes and I wonder, these people, do they even know the history of what they are talking about? Or do they even follow what is happening currently? Do they follow international relations? not theoretically from the book, but practically, what is going on now? Are you following what is going on now? And if you're an African presidential advisor, what are you advising the president? What are you telling the president? Or you are a member of the African intelligence agency. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? You see, for every country in the on this earth, if you are not on the table, you are on the menu. And if you don't want to be on the menu and you want to be on the table, you better damn that organization of yours that is the so-called nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Damn it. Because that organization puts you on the menu. In fact, you are the menu. Why is it that we cannot realize that we are the menu? And we are being listed one by one. Do you know that the menu has a timetable, like a timetable, Monday, this and this and this, Monday they eat this. Maduro was the Monday. Iran is now the Tuesday. Do you know who is Wednesday? It could be Namibia. Well, you are still sleeping in the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. So if you want to be rich, having all that and use it to the beneficiation of our people, 100%. Look, Parliament can even ratify to say, oil and gas should be in the president's office. That does not help anything. You will hear the president in New York one day because the Delta Marine will just land in Windhoek and there is nothing you can do. The president can be transported to the nearest American base. And before you know, she is in New York. And NDF is at current now. There is nothing you can do to prevent that. If you are debating with me, ask Maduro. Why was Maduro taken out of his blanket? It's because of oil that is underneath Venezuela's ground. So putting oil in the president's office, that is nothing. Because the foundation is not laid. The foundation is shaky. The foundation first need to be fixed. Maduro and Hugo Chavez did not sink. And they did not sink. That is the reason why America could get in and take what they want. If Maduro tested the bomb, or Hugo Chavez tested the bomb, a nuclear bomb, America would behave. Because America would know very well that getting into there is existential threat. And what does existential threat mean to a nuclear armed country? Means we are going to defend ourselves with our whatever means we have. And that means is a nuclear weapon. And America and anybody else knows that very well. That's why North Korea is testing Hwasong from one Hwasong to the other without American threatening, without American Marine, landing in there to go and detect Kim Jong-un. Nobody will even think about that. If Trump today say, guys, you need to know to do, you need to, let us come up with a, you know, Operation Epic Success. They will ask him, where is that? North Korea. Huh? What? We want to go and take John, hey, Trump. No. Stop there. No. Why? Because they know there is nuclear in there. And any fanatic can take advantage of the situation, and there is a miscalculation, and we are vaporized immediately. But to come and take Zambian president, very easy. Even the most bold Paul Kagame, easy. They will just be taken into the pocket like bananas. They will just be taken out of the sleep, like somebody taking a banana from the fridge. Easy. Nothing can be done by any defense here. Because the defense foundations of Africa don't even exist. There is no defense architecture. There is no security architecture. You will be sleeping here. Everybody will be sleeping like, you know, as if you took a sleeping pill. Gee, when you wake up, your president is appearing in New York. Because Africans wants to continue being cowards. And at the same time, they want to continue being politically correct. Apparently, they are members. Every organization, they are the first to ratify. Every treaty, they are the first people to be part of, without thinking. Some of those treaties are created to be ditches for countries whose defense architecture does not exist. Now, let's go for a short break. And after a short break, we are coming to talk about the potential issues that, should we be rich, can be used to mess us up here. All right, it's 23 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, and we are here. Now, I've said a lot of things, but if you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 0832-888-401. That's the number in studio if you want to come through. My lines are working very well. 0832-888-401. That's a number in studio if you want to be part of the conversation. So, now, every country with oil that has shaky foundations in terms of security, that have leaders that did not think about their security, or their security, because certain leaders enjoy making political statements. Yeah, they will come here. They must come. They must come and get what they want. We're just saying. But you know yourselves that your security architecture is non-existent. And operation whatever can just come. Operation Cooker Shop will just come and take you like a banana taken out of the fridge. You open your eyes, you are in New York. So, but nuclear armed countries, you don't do that, because you know that there might be a nuclear retaliation taking a leader. That's why Ayatollah could be assassinated easily in Iran, because Iran is not a nuclear armed country. If it was a nuclear armed country, not even Israel could dare go into there. Because Israel will behave. America will behave. So, but countries enjoy making political statements. Other countries don't make political statements. They look, they calculate, and they say, we can take him. We can take him. They come by night, take him. When your defense was going to wake up, it's a game over. It's a game down. They will there continue making statements. So, you can never be rich in this world without looking at your security. Let Namibia continue extracting gas and oil. But at the same time, if Namibia wants to go left and nobody makes noise, Namibia must build its defense. Namibia must build its defense. And for you to build the defense, you need to be intentional. You need to be intentional. Namibia must build its defense. You know, people are talking about drones now. And we are still talking about Kalbane. Yes, we can say AK-47, but there are situations where your AK-47 will be meaningless. Even if you are armed with an AK-47, there are situations where that AK-47 will be useless against an enemy. So, Namibia must be rich, but Namibia must be intentional. Now let's get into the issue that Namibia, that, you know, let's get into the issue that can be used. against Namibia. Issue number one is a genocide. That is the one that can be used to divide Namibia. You know, let me say Namibia has oil. And much of the oil will be, is even going to be found in the southern areas, where genocide was committed 100 years ago, and up to now, that is not discussed to the point where people are compensated. That's a potential red flag. You know, that's a potential red flag. Let me say Uhangwena also gets oil. There was a small issue of Kwanyama there. Or let me say, you know, Kavango also gets some oil. Maybe there's some oil there, that site. That can also be a potential red flag. And Zambezi as well. Potential red flag. Then we have the historical, you know, Lubango Dagent. We have the Swati issue. Then we have the struggle kid and the liberation, you know, veteran. They are still camping at SWAPO headquarters. Now SWAPO has applied for a court, for a high court order for them to be evicted. We are waiting. Those are potentials, and we are coming in to talk about them one by one, how they can be exploited. But let me say, Namibia somewhere, somehow, secretly, managed to develop, you know, nuclear, maybe through a third party, develop nuclear nicely, and it is at the level, and Namibia tests their own first hydrogen bomb. Bomb. It is tested. In Namibia now, it is called a nuclear-armed country. The treatment of Namibia will change. The treatment of Namibia will change. Yeah, unless Namibia, they will say, Namibia, just give up your nuclear weapons so that you get security guaranteed. From whom? Okay, get security guarantee from Russia or China or and the United States. But there's no guarantee that there will be security guarantee. Namibia said, nope, I'm not going to give up my nuclear weapon. In fact, we are testing a new Namtuni, we are testing a new Namtuni B3, intercontinental ballistic missile. So it is tested. And that is the only way superpowers can behave. Now I'm talking about superpowers because it doesn't matter what superpower we are talking about, whether it is America or China or Russia. Those are superpower countries, and they all have their interests. No, none of these superpower is more evil than the other. They are all fighting for their own interests. Russia is fighting for its interest in Ukraine. America is fighting for its interest in Cuba, in Venezuela, in Iran, Middle East, elsewhere. China is eyeing, you know, Taiwan. They are fighting for their interests. And Taiwan, as a place, as a people, they have right to be autonomous. But China also has a right to defend itself and to fight for what belongs to what it thinks belongs to it, such as Taiwan. So Taiwan belongs to China by law, and by one China policy, a treaty and agreement that which the Americans are most are more aware, you know, they are much aware of. So Russia has right to defend itself against NATO, and Ukraine has a right to join NATO because Ukraine is a sovereign state. Ukraine has a right to defend itself against Russia. Russia has a right to defend itself against NATO. Cuba has a right to join whatever affiliation, but that threatens the security of the Americans because of the proximity, you know, of Cuba to the Americans. So the Americans will have right to fight for their security, because if the Russians deploy missiles in Cuba, that is threatening the American security, and they have right to defend themselves. So, but if Cuba has a nuclear weapon of its own, then the Americans will behave, Cuba will behave, everyone will behave, because they know that you don't cross the line that will trigger a nuclear, you know, response. So that's how complex the world is. That's how complex the world security is. That's how complex national security is. And everybody in government, you guys need to think. You don't just go to parliament and talk about who is Italian, who looks more Namibian. All those things are just nothing but nonsense. There are more very important issues than that. So instead of you going to parliament and argue who looks more Namibian than the other, think about, if you are listening to radio now, think about what we are talking about now. Because without what we are talking about now, Namibia will have oil. Yes. But you will hear there will be certain organizations, certain militants that will be formed overnight and start to fight. And there will be secessionism, especially in the oil-prone areas. There will be countries. What if people now wake up tomorrow and they say they want Karas to be its own republic in Namibia? Who will have the capacity to stand against that? But if we have nuclear, we can crush the internal problem here, crush it nicely. No one will come from the outside to say they are deploying their soldiers here, because we can wipe them out. And wiping them out means a nuclear war. And nobody wants to think about that. So everyone will behave wherever they are. They will be talking there, Namibia, what you are doing, you don't need to crush the, you just need to, people will be talking there, but they will not come here because they know Namibia is armed. They know that Namibia is armed. The moment you touch down, we wipe you out. But now Namibia is being cut into pieces like an onion. It's on the menu. And it will be more worse if Namibia gets oil. It will be more worse if Namibia gets oil. Now, do you know what Morocco said 2 months ago? Morocco said that they are going to investigate the Caprivi issue. And there was a certain political analyst that was saying, yeah, no, Namibia, I mean, Morocco is right to say that, because the Caprivians have the right to. I was listening to this political analyst and I was like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. These are some of these guys that can sell us very easily. You know, because these are guys that just talk, just because there is a camera in front of him, or is appearing, his face is appearing, you know, in a newspaper. They don't know what they are talking about. They don't know the history of Morocco with Sahrawi versus the history of Southwest Africa and Caprivi. They don't know. So you can't compare the two. So, and you cannot talk about that just because you know, it's not a swap issue. Because most of you guys that are in politics, you think, you know, the Caprivi issue is a swap issue. Or, you know, you think when you think you can punish SWAPO by taking sides of Morocco, that's being nonsense. That's being unpatriotic. So whatever blunder SWAPO is doing, it's internal blunder. We shouldn't use that blunder to sell ourselves out. Because the moment Namibia is destroyed, it is your children and your grandchildren that are going to suffer. If you are not using your medulla oblongata. So some of these political analysts, I don't know where they come from, and I don't know what political analysis they give. It's political analysis that is not according to knowledge. Now, for your own knowledge, Morocco is just angry because Namibia made a statement through the Ministry of International Relations condemning the occupation of Sahrawi by Morocco, which is, according to the United Nations, correct for Namibia to have done that because Morocco, the United Nations also said Morocco is occupying that area. And in fact, the International Court of Justice also said Morocco is occupying the area. It's illegal. So that's why Mauritania, you know, that's why Mauritania withdrew. It was not just Morocco alone that was having interest in that area of Sahrawi. It was Mauritania, but Mauritania withdrew when the United Nations pronounced itself that what you guys are doing is illegal. You are occupying that place. You are illegal. People don't want you there. People in Sahrawi, they don't want Morocco. They don't want to be under Moroccan government. They don't want. Now, you are talking about the majority of people according to the United Nations. That's why the United Nations itself said it was occupation. Occupation. Now, occupation means that place was not part of you. Now, in 1975, Spain, which was colonizing that area of Sahara, left Sahara. So, when it left, Morocco and Mauritania rushed to take it. But the United Nations said, nope, you guys are illegally occupying that area. And the International Court of Justice. Now, what did the United Nations say about Caprivi? We could only compare Caprivi with Morocco. I mean, with Sahara. If the United Nations pronounced themselves the same, or made the same pronouncement. Now, according to the United Nations, Caprivi is part of Namibia because of the 1989 Resolution 435, which was, overseen by the United Nations Transition Assistance Group, which went up to Caprivi. I was very small, but, you know, I used to be present when people say they are going to meetings with officials from the United Nations Transition, Assistance Group. My father, them, my parents attended those meetings. In fact, we lived near the base, the South African base, and when the South African left, that base was occupied by Namibian police. And in fact, up to now. So, and the majority of people in Caprivi don't want, they don't want to succeed. So if you're an analyst, analyzing the two and comparing the two, you were just supposed to, you were supposed to tell the journalist to say, no, these are not the same. This is not one situation. These are two different situations. Because, you know, Morocco is occupying Sahrawi. Namibia is not occupying Caprivi. Caprivi is part and parcel of Namibia. So, but that is one of the issues that could be born of contention. Should Namibia have oil? You know, certain people can use it. In certain countries that have interest in the oil, let me say Zambezi have the largest deposit of oil. They can, the countries can take sides to say, no, Namibia, you are occupying this area. They can falsify history. And in fact, a lot of people, a lot of history, even Muyongo himself, falsifies history of Caprivi. But if we trace Muyongo where he come from, he's not even a Caprivian. If we are talking about his genealogical order. So, but people can use politics to falsify history. And then history can be used to destabilize a country because of natural resources that is wanted by powers from outside. So, and if your defense architecture is in shambles, you can be divided and be cut into pieces and be left with nothing. So, at the same time, Namibia can be hit with a genocide issue, which it is not even solving very well. They are taking their time, you know, to solve the issue of genocide. The Namibian government doesn't realize that the genocide can be used as a destabilizing factor should they start to have enough oil. They don't know. So, and let me say the southern areas are the areas with largest deposit of oil. You will be cut into pieces. Namibia will just be 8 regions. And these all other regions, 6 of them, they will be part of the new country, which is going to be supported by either America or any other superpower. So, but what will the North give Namibia? The North alone, which does not even contribute anything to the GDP currently. Zero. So when you're in politics, you better think deeply. Stop fighting for things that don't hold water. Stop this thing of going to parliament and you are fighting for who is a better Namibian, who is not a Namibian, who is speaking better English. All those things are just nothing. Think about the very issue. Because now they are fighting for a bill to put oil under the leadership of the president. In as much as that bill is important, that's not important compared to the security architecture of the country. Especially when we are talking about the deposit of oil that we are discovering. This is a time we are supposed to, you people need to use Maduro as a case study. You need to use Maduro as a case study. You need to use Nicolas Maduro as a case study. Nicolas Maduro was very much comfortable thinking that the Chinese will come, the Russians will come. The Russians can only come when they know that they will not lose much because you have enough to defend yourself. They can just give you one or two things. Not to jack you up and like a drip. No, because they know they are going to lose, they're going to lose a lot. The same with Americans. The Americans don't just join a war like that. They calculate and they see that, okay, if we go in full force, we are going to lose. But if we find a sect within the people itself, the people of themselves of the country, and give them one or two weapons, and they fight it all for themselves, and then we sneak in and we take what we can take. That's wise. We are surrounded by people that are thinking, but we are sleeping. That's the problem I have with African politics. That we are surrounded by people, same people that came to take our land, same people that colonized us. They are still the same people that still want to come and do a new form of colonialization again. We are still fighting for the bill, to whether the bill or whether or not that is dictatorship when the president takes over the oil. That's not important, guys. That's not important. That, in fact, supposed to have been the last thing we could think about this time, you know, as of now. We are supposed to sit down and say, guys, our defense, our security architecture, how is it compared to countries that want to come in here? That's what Parliament is supposed to talk about. That's what the president is supposed to tell Parliament to think. And in fact, every think tank in the ruling party or any opposition party, every political think tank, you guys are supposed to think about this. Your focus is supposed to be the security architecture of the country. Do you have capacity? Do you have capacity to keep your sovereignty intact? It's not just about Article 100. Your Article 100 will not protect you. So we are surrounded by countries that are still thinking of revamping what they did 100 years ago. But we are sleepwalking and we are sleep talking. We are sleepwalking. Use Maduro as a case study. Maduro was sleeping. Maduro was sleeping, knowing that you have an adversary, a very formidable adversary next door, but you are sleeping. That's why you was taken out of the blanket like a cucumber.
Dr. Franz.
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon.
We were talking about the restoration, reconciliation, and all these other things. What is the other word again? Restoration, reconciliation, restoration, and what?
I forgot the other restitution.
Word. Restitution, yes. So now, I think there is listening to the South African media, where they are talking about the land. But last time when the former president, I mean, not former president, Prime Minister of Agriculture, who is this one, the one that you say is not in support of the the exploration of the this Mr. I always forget his name, the white compatriot. So if he's against that, because I remember last time when he became a minister of agriculture, he was saying he was going to do to restore the land to the previously disadvantaged people, the black. And I don't know whether he did that. I was still trying to find the outcome of his declaration. So I don't know how far he went. But my observation is that he hasn't done anything there. There's no restoration that was done. And then the restoration, which also go hand in hand with restoration. So are the people not doing restitution? Because once you, if there is a national reconciliation pronounced, and the people that just came, but people did not do restitution, how do you do some apology and some of these things? People are apologizing, but it does not, it's not accompanied with restitution and restoration of the land, for example. How does it really make impact if the, those things, those actions are not tangible? You know, because I know people who are now preaching reconciliation. Reconciliation is majorly people from, let's say, those who are from SWAPO, liberation struggle. So, and the other people are mocking it. They are mocking it. Say, no, you're talking, just talking about reconciliation. And you know, but people are saying it's not documented. It's not what. So they don't see the effect, the impact of that reconciliation. Even though on the institution, the restitution perhaps is not really done, you know? Maybe because people have not come out publicly and say, yes, this is what I did, you know, this is what I did, like what happened in South Africa, even though that is not encouraged, because it doesn't heal wounds, you know. But at least people must appreciate the way we are, you know, the army, the, you know, the cook food there, and the plane combatant, and all these things. People have reconciled and they have, you know, united in the workforce there, you know. People don't look at each other as enemy, you know, that much. Except when they bargain in the parliament. That's where you see now some kind of racist kind of language. Especially the one that happened from, who is this honorable conservator? The one for Nudo. So I think that one is just supposed to be called to order. And I don't know some kind of mechanism to discipline and they rebuke some of those kind of language that are tantamount to racism and all this is. So, France, unless you correct me somewhere where I might have gone wrong, I mean, beyond the bonds. So, otherwise, our reconciliation policy, whether it's in the policy, it is now embedded in our heart. And I think that was a good form. The one in America and the Iran and all these things. Honestly speaking, I don't know. Maybe it's only God who knows. We are just praying that God can intervene seriously. And you know, there's also punishment on when you are committing those kind of atrocity. Yeah, sometimes you will be punished also. People don't think about that thing. The consequences that might follow their action. Brother Franz,
thank you very much.
I think I've talked much on these things, even though I was just jumping there and there. Maybe it's my language connection that is the problem. But thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Good.
You can do the same, 0832-888-401. So you are not even supposed to debate whether or not the president.
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economic segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
looking back on the memory of the dance we shared neath the stars above. For a moment, all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance. To say you know, I might have changed it all. And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain.
It is 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We are here. We still continue. And we are talking about, you know, issues that could, you know, have potential to destabilize us when, as soon as we start to have oil and we refuse to dance to the tunes of the superpowers. It is not really about putting oil under the control of the president. If the president does not have security architecture intact, our president could just be taken from Namibia here like a cucumber taken out of the fridge. And we need to, like I keep telling you, we need to use Maduro's situation as a case study. That any superpower can do that. They can just come and capture you and they go with you. And then they start to dictate, you know, conditions with the one that is going to be the vice president. So it is a game over. So think about it. It's Saturday and it's a Saturday afternoon. And of course, we are here. And Saturday afternoon, you know, Saturdays people want to relax, and we also talk about music. I mean, we also play music this side because the whole week I've been talking and serious conversation. So some of us don't even know how to take it, you know, to take it softer. We don't know how to take it softer, but we are taking it, you know, powerfully, but with music also, so that, you know, you regurgitate in what we are talking about. Don't forget, you can call in. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That's the number in studio if you want to be part of the conversation. So, we are looking at what is going on in the world and comparing it to our situation. That should we fail to dance to the people's tune, then, you know, they will come and take us out. We'll be right back.
I've always been a rolling stone with a reckless streak. Yeah, the grass never gets too grown underneath my feet. City lights, southern stars, no such thing's gone too far. I'm running wide open. I was born with my feet in motion. Since I met you, I swear I could be happy anywhere. Any map, dot, location, you're always my destination. You're the only thing that I'm chained to. I could be happy anywhere. I could be happy anywhere with you. Yeah, the beauty of the northern lights in my mind. Kinda overrated. The winding road, let it twist. My home's wherever your heart is. I'm running wide open. I was born with my feet in motion. Since I met you, I swear I could be happy anywhere. Any map, dot, location, you're always my destination. You're the only thing that I'm chained to. I could be happy.
I believe in love. yeah, in your arms, in your arms, in your arms, in your arms. Oh, oh. When I look into your eyes,
into your eyes,
I see a light so bright. You could papa tell, papa tell, and you.
So, what does this program, what does this program want to achieve? We want to achieve, we just want to communicate to you, as a citizen of Namibia, that, you know, it takes non-patriotic citizens to sell their city, to sell their country to foreigners. And, you know, like now, the Americans are finding it difficult to land in Iran and do, you know, have a ground force in Iran. Now, they are looking for non-patriotic citizens of Iran. So that those non-patriotic citizens of Iran can help the Americans to topple the regime. Because they failed by assassinating the Ayatollah. They thought they were going to, you know, win. And have, you know, they said they are going to have Iran implode. And then, you know, they people fight each other. But people are mostly, the majority of the people in the country are fighting for the government. And that's why the Americans strategically did not achieve any victory. They did a tactical victory by assassinating, they made a decapitating strike, which assassinated the Ayatollah and some generals. But that was not strategic, because they thought the strategy was to kill the Ayatollah and then let Iran implode and engulf itself into chaos. And that did not happen. The Iranians regrouped immediately, and then stage up a resistance. you know, they put up a resistant response against the invading force, because the citizens of Iran view the Americans as invaders. They view the Israelis as invaders. So they think it is prudent for them to fight for their country, and that is what they are doing. So it takes patriotic citizens to say, well, if you are killing us, kill us in our country. You are not going to take this country. It is not going to be a walk in the park for you to take whatever you want. You are going to have taken what you want after killing us, or after having killed us. You are going to have taken whatever you want after having killed us. So, and this is what is happening. The Americans were counting on the Kurdish militias to help them. But the Kurdish militias are saying, no, we cannot trust the Americans, because the Americans have a tendency of arming you and making you do their dirty job. But once they gotten what they want, they disappear, and then they leave you to face the heat. So the Kurdish know it very well that by the time the Americans would have left, would have taken what they want, the government might have regrouped and the Kurds will suffer. So there are three tribes in Iran: the Kurds, the Azerbaijanis, the Baloch, and those are viewed by Israel as potential, you know, destiny helpers for Israelis to achieve victory in Iran. But so far it is not happening. In fact, the Iranians are putting up a resistance. The Americans have suffered losses. The Iranians are saying they've killed 600 Americans. And there's other sources are claiming that American losses, you know, could be higher than that, could be much higher than that. And there are some unverified reports that there are leaked details on the Israeli losses. And apparently, according to this leaked information, Israel has lost 6 generals and 11 nuclear scientists. Then 194 Air Force officials, and then up to 460 soldiers and 32 Mossad agents. So those are unverified claims. I would say they are unverified claims because I tried to search it up, I tried to find it out, but no one has such an information, even among, you know, big outlets such as CGTN, Russia TV, or RT, such as BBC, CNN, Fox. No one seems to have such an information. So those are unverified claims. But anyway, they are claiming that Israel have suffered losses, and according to some sources, also are saying Netanyahu might have been killed. They are saying that Benjamin Netanyahu might have been killed. So those are not verified, because Benjamin Netanyahu have not appeared in public for almost a week. So nobody knows where he is. Maybe has gone to, maybe he's in a certain European country, or he's in one of those bunkers. No one knows, but he has never appeared to the public. He has never made a public appearance since last week. So, but some are saying it could be that Netanyahu is dead. And also Mujtaba Khomeini was also wounded last, I think it was last week, this week. He was also wounded in one of the Americans and one of the American and Israeli strikes. So he was wounded, but he said to be in a stable and good condition. Because Israel says they also want to kill the new Ayatollah. So Americans also have attacked Bandar Abbas, that's the city of Bandar Abbas, and the island of Hark have also come under attack. The Iranians are also attacking Dubai city, especially the financial capital of the United Arab Emirates, and a lot of, you know, financial institutions are evacuating. A lot of banks are evacuating. So this is really hammering the United Arab, the Emirati economy. Saudi Arabia has also been hit. Qatar was also hit. Bahrain was hit. Iraq, Iraq now there is a war between the Americans and the pro-Iranian, you know, forces. The Americans lost their KC-135, refuel, aircraft that it said, America is saying that it was due to friendly fire, but the Iranian sources are saying it has been shut down. So far America has lost up to 8 aircraft in the conflict. So losses are mounting on both sides, casualties, and of course oil is becoming now expensive because the Strait of Hormuz is blocked. The only countries that are allowed to pass there, the Iraqi and Indians, the Indian and Iraqi vessels are the only ones that were so far allowed to pass. Any other vessel is being attacked. So this war is going to bring the global economy into tatters. If this war does not end, the global economy might get into tatters. So this is a major war because it's a country, it's hitting a country that produces commodities that are needed in the world, and the country that controls the passage of Hormuz. So the Mediterranean Sea is on high, you know, is now full of activities. The Italians are evacuating their troops from Iraq. The French also got some losses because their base was attacked in Iraq. The American base in Iraq is being attacked too. So Israel is also being hit. It is a war that has, you know, dragged many countries. We are going to see how this war will end. We are going to see how this war will end. But this is just a lesson to us that when you have resources such as oil, you are not safe unless you are having some deterrent. You know, if you have some deterrent, you have a very powerful and well-organized, defense architecture, you can then stand to say nope to any aggression. So we need to understand that we are living in a volatile situation. We cannot continue to be a friend of all and an enemy of none. That's a good position for now, but that position should change. As soon as we get our oil, we need to work on our defense in our defense architecture. Otherwise, we are going to be the second Maduros. we are going to be madurod if we don't wake up. And this is to the parliamentarians, lawmakers, and the executive, and the defense apparandi, to think about that. So if you are a president in Africa, having oil, or you are a presidential, you know, advisor, you better advise the president well. If you are a president, if you are defense, you know, advisor, we better start, you know, we better quit this, this weak organization that we are busy ratifying for us to be, just for us, just because we want to be politically correct. So it's time for us to be selfish enough to think about ourselves at once and develop a defense infrastructure and architecture that is suitable to defense, for us to be able to defend ourselves. Otherwise, we will depend on political organ or political statement and on international solidarity that will not help us. Because countries will condemn what happened in Namibia, we condemn it as a violation of international law, but your country has been wrecked into pieces and it will never recover. In most cases, once a government is toppled, you know, you in most cases you don't recover from that. So just look at what happened in Syria, look at what happened in Lebanon, look at what happened in Yemen, look at what happened in Sudan, look at what is happening in, you know, in Congo, in, look at what is happening in Libya. So once you topple a government and the government is toppled, people become scattered and there will no longer be a unitary state. So let's not take the peace we have for granted, and also let's not be ignorant of the devices of our adversary. Even if we don't want to accept that we have adversaries, we have people that are looking for us are many or are more powerful than ourselves. So if we don't wake up, well, it's the sky will be a limit as to the type of chaos that will come to our country. We need to wake up, and we need to wake up now.
Mukulwa ko,
right. So when we are talking about oil and gas, we should not talk about it blindly or ignorantly. It will bring us problems if we continue to sleepwalk towards oil and gas. We don't need to talk about oil and gas blindly or ignorantly. And we think, so that, you know, we say, for the beneficiation, we need to have, Maduro was in control of the oil. And he decided with whom he traded, and it brought him problem. Because Maduro's defense infrastructure and, you know, security apparatus was not intact. You know, the Chinese can give you this or that, the Russians can give you this and that, but if it is coming on a zero foundation, it will come and do nothing. So the reason why, you know, countries decided, we are not going to be part of this nuclear non-proliferation, you know, treaty, because these superpower countries can wake up with a different understanding tomorrow. You know, today you are a good partner, tomorrow you are a dictator. And today they support you, tomorrow they bombard you. So you need to understand, you need to stand to say, no, support we take, war we can also take. But the moment we are blind and ignorant, we will be sleepwalking in trouble. And it is a pity how our countries are going to end. Look at Nigeria, Boko Haram. You think Boko Haram is internally funded? No, Boko Haram, their pockets are funded from outside. They know what they are doing. So, and this is just to destabilize, Nigeria, to make sure that Nigeria does not stand to be an economic power. Look at South Africa. South Africa can also be destabilized very easily. They tried with the Afrikaner, you know, people, but they failed because the Afrikaner people decided never, we are not going to be deceived. South Africa is the only country we know as a home. And this is where our culture and history is. We cannot move to the US. So we are not even in danger. So, but if it was a different tribe that was, you know, instigated, we could have had a civil war in South Africa. So as for me, we have come to an end of our program, you know, Realm of the Historics. Let's meet again next Saturday as we continue to analyze the issues of international geopolitics.